Just in. Okay. Okay. Hello, everybody. Today is Saturday, March 12, 2022. Welcome to our Contract Trust Conference Call. We are not accountants, tax professionals, lawyers, or other currency dealers. We are not engaged in rendering legal, tax, accounting, or other professional advice. Should you require those services, you should retain competent advice from field professional in that field. Thanks for joining us today. We are Indicator Information Institute. My name is Carol Worlius, my partner Jim Knox, and I have these calls every second and fourth Saturday of the month. These calls are recorded and available on our website, indicatorinformation.com, and YouTube. As we get closer and closer to our expected exchange, and hopefully it is closer, we thought this would be a good time to review our common law contract trust and why we think it is the best vehicle for you to protect your assets. As always, your questions are welcome. It's star 6 to raise your hand. I know the trust, I think most of you know the trust that we prepare are common law contract trusts. Some people think common law is no longer valid in the U.S. There are differences between trusts and legal entities, and some of them, you know, the ones that are based on common law, obviously are ones that are different from statutory. Common law is alive and well in the U.S. As we understand it, the global currency reset is about more than just the money. If, as we've heard, Nacera and Jacera are announced soon afterward, we will once again flourish under common law. Law entities, and we will be under the restored republic and common law after Nacera's announcement. We are already under common law. And I found the following information on Intel Dinar Chronicles. Statutory law consists of millions of laws. They change every year, are so numerous and complicated that they require well-paid lawyers to keep up with them. They have created a whole industry of lawyers that parasite off society because of it. Such laws are generally designed to benefit the few at the expense of the many. The lawyers, the politicians, the big corporations, and the cabal's favored interests. Legal entities set up under statutory law are subject to those millions of laws that require expensive and complicated legal expertise to defend them. Common law, by contrast, has been around for millions of years and will continue to be around for millions of years. I thought I'd turn that off. Oh. Hang on. There we go. It's basically, don't lie, don't steal, don't violate the rights of others. It is the closest thing to natural law or universal law that has acted in human affairs. It is still the underlying authority and is now returning in force. Trust in legal instruments that are created under common law has far greater freedom. They are subject only to the common law and are thus sovereign and immune from the ever-changing statutory laws. They can go on generation after generation, well into the golden age, and flourish because they say someone is timeless. The common law contract trust upon which all is based has been adjudicated, it's a hard word for me to say, by the Ninth Circuit in the United States versus Dahlstrom in 1983, in which the government's own expert witness, Carl K. Krogh, testified that the trust organizations created by the defendants were valid legal entities. Indicator Information is the only licensee to use this form and method perfected by the defendants in the above cited case. Also, on occasion, the courts have called common law trusts or UBOs, unincorporated business organizations, contractual companies. An explanation of their function can be found in Smith v. Anderson, Chancery Division, 1880. The Smith decision establishes the validity and viability of these contractual companies under the English common law jurisdiction beginning in 1880. The Smith decision has never been reversed, nor has its importance been nullified through the passing of negating statutes in the United Kingdom or any other common law jurisdiction anywhere in the world. These common law trusts are actually contracts in trust format. Since one cannot contract with him or herself, we use a third party to facilitate it. That person is called the creator. Once the creator has completed his or her two tasks, he or she is released from all future responsibility, duties, authority, or liability regarding the trust organization. You can choose anyone of your to be the creator, an adult child, your brother, you know, your brother-in-law, your co-worker, your neighbor, but they need to be geographically close to you as you both need to sign several pages in front of a notary public. And keeping your business to yourself is obviously important, and surely you don't necessarily want any of these people to know about your currency. We suggest asking that if they would help you out in some estate planning, which is the truth. Explain that the trust you're contemplating uses a disinterested third party to create or initiate the trust, and that he or she will have no future responsibility, duties, authority, or liability regarding the trust after signing a few pages. The creator's final duty is to name a first trustee. He or she can name anyone as first trustee. Considering that you were smart enough to buy this currency and smart enough to put into a trust, who do you think they will choose as the most likely candidate for first trustee? We do not need to know how we, Gemini, do not need to know how much currency or other property you wish to put into your trust. That is one of the reasons we put blank lines before your list of currency. The creator has absolutely no access to the trust of the trust bank account. One of the creator's duties is to temporarily take title to the assets, in this case your currency, and exchange it into your trust. The certificates that he or she signs over to you are evidence of that exchange. The certificates represent your right to a share of any distributions by the trustee should you decide to make one, it becomes null and void upon your death. We provide a certificate template for the benefit of your successor trustees, who most likely will make them out to themselves. You do not sign them. They are to be signed by the trustee when they are issued. And a lot of people say, well, how do I get my currency into the trust? That right there is how your currency gets into the trust, when the creator temporarily takes hold of the assets and puts them into the trust. So when we send you your trust, your currency's in it. Minutes, of course, you know, it's a trust. You have to do minutes like you do any other business entity. Minutes provide a history of your actions, which will be especially useful to future generations of successor trustees. We've supplied like minute page for you. You can handwrite your minutes if you choose. Our website has many sample minutes for your use. Someone mentioned to me that her friend told her that the trust isn't valid because it doesn't name any beneficiaries. A typical grantor trust in which you give or grant your assets to a trust has beneficiaries to whom the assets go at your death and the trust terminates. The contract trust that we use does not terminate when you do. You died, the trust did not. That's why we have successor trustees to take over the manner of the trust upon your death. Thus, there are no quote-unquote beneficiaries. Some people think they don't need or won't need a trust and are planning to take money resulting from the RV into their names and own social security numbers. That is not a good idea. On the practical side, having assets in your own name can be reckless. Plus, it can wreak havoc on your estate plan when you die. Trusts are used to create estate planning and anonymity. Most folks have a will. Upon your death, their will gets probated. This means the judge determines the validity of the person's will. And here's the frustrating part. If anyone disagrees with anything in your will, they can sue your estate. It gets even better. Did you know that once your will is probated, it becomes a public document? That means anyone, everyone, can read your will. A trust works differently. If you have an irrevocable common law contract trust holding your property, the second you die, the management of the trust transfers to the successor trustee. No muss, no fuss. Best of all, because the trust is a private document, no one can see behind the curtain. As your net worth increases, privacy becomes more and more important. The first axiom in prudent estate planning is to own nothing in your own name, but to control everything. I have read from a banking perspective that you must have a trust or run to other entity if you were to receive more than $1 million. It is important to have your trust in place before the RV. You know, I've told stories before about you could have an accident or a heart attack on the way home, but I recently heard a story about a neighbor whose son got drunk, stole their car, and killed someone in an accident. The family of the deceased took everything from the parents because they owned the car. Can you imagine that happening to you after the RV with money in your own name? So you can, that's really something to think about. It kind of brings it home a little bit. Our trusts are currently priced at $19.95. We accept all four major credit and debit cards. We also pay a $300 referral fee. Typical turnaround time is about 5 to 7 days. So, Jim, what's on your mind today?
Okay. I had my microphone off. Sorry.
That's okay.
A lot of things are going on right now that I want to talk about. First thing I want to talk about is the website. It's up and running. It's doing real well. I got the anchors fixed on it, so now when you go down, you scroll down, you hit a caption, it goes down to the page. One of the things I'm going to be changing this week is I'm going to be going to what they call an RTF, rich text format, for the website. And what that's going to do for people is the history of Microsoft is they used to do rich text format, then they went to doc, D-O-C, .doc, then went to .docx, docx. Well, rich text format works in all of those. Some of you people still running the older programs, which has simply .doc. And then if you try and go to use a .docx and drop it in there, it has a lot of difficulty. So to make it simple, I'm going to do everything in a rich text format, and it will automatically integrate with no problem whatsoever to any format, including WordPerfect. So it will be easy for everybody to go, and it carries the formatting with it, but it's a limited amount of formatting. So what I'm going to do is set up a template that has the minute, and in that template I'm going to be describing all of the fonts and the size of the fonts and the spacing. So you can duplicate this perfectly on your own computer. And there's also going to be three training videos to teach you how to go get those fonts that we use and how to install them on your computer. If you still can't figure it out, get your five-year-old grandson or granddaughter, and they'll install them for you. These kids nowadays are amazing. I'm going to one of the things that Carol said, and I did get two phone calls this week. Somebody wanted me to change the website because they wanted to add currency. That's not how you do it. You don't change the document. Once the document's done and it's notarized, it's there. You simply use a minute to add more currency. So we have plenty of minutes in there for that. So the templates I talked about, the fonts I talked about. Oh, yeah, don't forget daylight savings times this weekend, folks. And one of the things that we didn't mention in the syllabus we just read, or Carol just read, is where are the application sites, where's the application site, and where is the audio sites. So we have 3itrustapp.com is where the applications are at, and then indicator-calls or iiicalls.com. Either one's a .com. We'll take it to where all the recordings are at. And so if you go to the main website, which is indicatorinformation.com, you'll see the links at the very top. And then again, and later today, I will reset the countdown timer on the website for the next call, which is going to be in 2 weeks. And I think that's pretty much the main things, Carol, that I wanted to get out there. Anything else you want to add to that?
Well, just one thing, just to let people know, so when Jim is putting all the fonts and all that stuff on the website, you don't have to use the fonts that we use. We're just suggesting if you want to keep it consistent looking the way it was when you got it, you can use these fonts. If you don't want to use them, you don't have to use them. But a lot of people like to keep the consistency. So our cue is Jim. Does anybody have any questions today? I'm really surprised. We have a lot of people on board today. I'm just surprised nobody has their hand up yet.
Well, I have something I can add then.
I'm sorry?
I have some things I can add if you don't have somebody to
ask. Oh, yes, go ahead. Yeah.
All right, so the plan is in the near future for me to get my old butt out to Florida. As soon as the RV happens, I'm packing up and leaving. My brother has moved into my house here in Oregon this week, and he will take over everything so I can just bail and go. So I will be there shortly to get this thing set up. And so if you can't get a hold of me by email or something for about 4 or 5 days, that's because I'm traveling. And I got to go over there, and I got to set up a complete computer system. I'm not taking everything with me. I'm just taking my Nook. And I'll buy monitors and keyboard stuff when I get there. So I may be out of commission, so to speak, for about a week, getting moved over there. I want everybody to know that I didn't abandon you. I'm just in the process of establishing my domicile.
Yes, and we are planning on putting an office here because we're going to need to hire a lot of people to help us get these trusts done. So that is the biggest reason that Jim is moving this way, besides the weather. Anyway, we do have some questions, Jim, so let's go. Good morning, Helene. How are you?
Hi, guys. I know I asked this question 2 weeks ago, but somebody said something to me, and I just wanted confirmation. With respect to the $21, the silver certificate, can I use $21 of the USN after the reval?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Hope to go back,
okay. Because here's the deal. We're trying to establish that we're trying to stay with the Constitution. I use a 21 silver certificate as evidencing we tried to buy the right currency. We tried to buy money, use money, but we couldn't. We had to use currency. So once we go into the gold back, you don't have to do the silver certificates anymore, folks. You just use 21 lawful dollars that are backed by gold or silver. And as I understand it, there's two serial numbers on each note now. One serial number is the note itself. The second serial number is the bar of gold that backs that note. So if they have a, 100-ounce bar of gold or whatever they've got, they'll have that serial number on all of the currency that is representing that one bar of gold. Now, that's what I've seen, whether it be true or not, whether it be the final thing or not, I don't know. But I thought it was interesting.
Okay, now that brings to mind something else. The trust that I have now, I have the silver, the $21 in silver certificates. Can I replace that with the USN after the reval for an existing trust? Okay.
You can do it, although since you originated it with that 21 lawful dollars represented by silver certificates, I don't see any reason why you'd change it. Just leave it the way it is. It's just it's just only $21, about $30 U.S. to buy that. And it'd be kind of nice just to leave it with it. That way there's never a question of when it was established. Because if you have a trust established prior to the gold and silver, I would suggest probably just leave the numismatic.
Oh, leave the silver.
Yeah.
Yeah. That absolutely makes sense.
Yeah, because the date that it was established will define the type of currency you can put into it or the money you can put into it to evidence your intent.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. All right. Jim, you're next. Jim, area code 91. There he is.
Yes. Jim here for Jim Knox. Jim, you may want to recap our conversation with Frankie McRae and what has been discussed for placement onto your website once done, if actual calls are missed. But share with the group the conversation that we had.
I was counting on you to come here and say that to remind me. Thank you, Jim. You're the best man on my team today. Okay, we had talked about this earlier, about 3 months ago. We're just going to use his name, Frankie, and he owns a company that is, Jim, you still on?
Yes, I am.
Okay, how would you explain what he is as far as his company?
Best way I can explain it is to share with you how I met him. I met him through a friend that was involved with my security team at our church, and he introduced me to Frankie. And when I Googled Frankie's company, I found out that he and virtually all the people that work with him, they live in Fayetteville, North Carolina, the home of the 82nd Airborne. Does that tell you anything? They're all ex-operators. They're all people that know what they're doing in tough situations. I went to their website, and I'm going through it, and I'm looking at all the things they do, and the thing that caught my attention was extrications anywhere in the world. And I thought, with all that we're looking to do, if we're traveling and we're in some place like South Africa, I'll give you a good example. I've got a project in South Africa where a guy wants to build a 5-star hotel and have a 5,000-acre animal park. The long and the short of it is, when I mentioned this to Frankie, he said, "Ooh, you know, South Africa, we ought to help you with a search for who your neighbors are, because unfortunately, there are some folks down there that once apartheid has cleared out, have kind of moved in the opposite direction, and people that you think might be your neighbors may not be your neighbors." So that opened my eyes to the fact that traveling places like Africa, South Africa, wherever, might not be what one would think that it would be. And if I were there, I wanted to be able to get out. Frankie's our guy. He's going to handle all of our security. Part of what we were going to talk about in like podcast format, if you will, are things such as cybersecurity. They're very involved with that. Frankie is very involved with personal security. That's like here at home, how to make sure your home is secure, especially after the RV, how to make sure you're secure when you're out on the street. So little things like that that become very, very important once all of a sudden you've got a nickel in your pocket and people may or may not know about it, but all of a sudden you may or may not become a target. You just need to know about things that today you're not concerned about. And that was the purpose of our calls with Frankie, was to determine what they have available. And he has done the equivalent of basically the same thing, which are like podcasts. And he's done them for the State Department, people in the State Department that are going to crazy places in the world where things can go upside down in a hurry. I figured somebody that has that bore and stroke with their knowledge and their acumen and their physical ability to be there on the spot to help you if you needed it would make sense to be able to open an avenue of at least discussion with our group as to how to protect yourself, your family, and this, that, and everything else. That's the whole purpose of these things, is to have a podcast that would be live. It would be recorded. If you're unable to make it on the event night, which I think we talked about, Jim, was like going to be on a Monday. If you couldn't make that Monday, it'll be recorded, and Jim would be able to then pop it onto the website, very similar to what he has done with the recorded indicator calls. So you won't miss it. You'll have a place to go and pick it up. And then, of course, if you wanted to reach out to Frankie, I'm sure he'd be very happy to talk to you about what he might be able to do for you individually.
Perfect. So I'm making a note right now so we can do this. Okay, so we got to get back with him. He sent me the information. I have had a tough week this week. My personal website got hacked, and my email got hacked, and it's just been a real bear trying to get it all back together. And I'm spending more time on the company website than my website, which I just learned I should not do. Equal time saves a lot of trouble. Anyway, we'll get this set up. I'm thinking probably 2 weeks from now, we'll give people I'll send out a blast email that is going to be when it's going to be, what time, the phone number. We'll probably use the same phone number. We'll just go through this whole system. Carol will be there with us to help moderate and give us some guidance on which way to go with this conversation. She's excellent at that. And we will have Frankie send us probably an opening script, and then we can use that to kind of highlight where we're going to go with the conversation. And then it will be recorded, and like Jim said, we'll have it on the Internet right away. I will probably put it on the website itself in the blog area, which I've not activated yet. I will do today. And I will also put it on a special place on iiicalls.com also. But I have met with Frankie on the phone many times, and we've discussed certain things in my life since I'm disabled. At least right now I am. Come on, med beds, and get that fixed. So I can get around. But you know, if it stands as is, he's given me some really good advice on how he and his company can protect me, because I'm just a I'm a kidnapping, looking for a place to happen, because I can't run or defend myself. So these are things that are very important to me, and I'll make sure we get that information out to anybody. Last comments, Jim?
No, yeah, I think that's pretty well got it covered.
Okay, Carol, any comment on that?
Yeah, no, I think that's great. We're looking forward to it.
Okay. All right, so I'll set it up. Jim, you'll be the liaison with me to him. We'll get that together. We'll keep Carol in the loop on this thing, and she can be – I want her on all of the calls with them. So we'll do a three-way. Actually, what we should do is just do a couple private calls into this phone number, Carol, so
yeah.
We can get him and his team there, and we can all talk and plan out the call that we're going to make. And if there's some really good stuff on that call that – on our pre-call, we'll call it, we'll make sure that recording is edited and added to the other one also. So I happen to know how to do that.
All right. All right. Thank you, Jim, for that contribution. We look forward to it.
Very welcome.
Okay. See, Raul, you next.
Yes, hi, Carol. With respect to the font that you are using, is it Heirloom? I think I saw it when it looks very familiar with what font you used on the trust.
The body of the trust.
Isn't it?
Yeah, the font. I think it's Heirloom.
No, it's Soutane. Soutane.
Fontaine. Okay. I'm going to write that down.
Soutane. S as in Sam.
Oh, okay. Soutane. Yeah. I never heard that before.
Well, so you can trust me to find something off the wall, right? And, the headings are all in Chancery.
Okay. Chancery. Okay. Could you spell that one, Soutane, again? Could you spell it for me?
Sue, S as in Sam. O-U.
Okay.
A-M-E.
Okay, I got you now. Sounds like some sort of gas or something, butane or something. Okay. So Chancery and Soutane. Okay, right. Thank you so much. That was our question. That was it.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gary, you are. Oh, no, excuse me. Cynthia's next.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Hello.
Glad you're going to come to Florida. I'm in Florida now, Jim, and loving it.
Well.
So
I'm not far
question,
behind.
I know you're not. You've anticipated it for as long as I've been a part of this. Okay, I know that you guys don't discuss, there's so many supposed expert gurus regarding when this is actually going to happen, and I'm so sick and tired of people, saying all kinds of things that just, I don't know why they're saying it, maybe for ratings on the show, but I was wondering who you would recommend to get the truth from, to actually begin to listen and know that they're sound, especially with what's going on in Ukraine and Russia and everything around world events right now. I want to know who I can listen to.
Well, I'm going to take this first and Carol can add to it. There is a website called Real Raw News, RealRawNews. RealRawNews.com. I think that's where I'm getting most of my stuff there that seems to be easy to verify. And then Operation Disclosure Official is where I go every day, at least 2-3 times a day. Then for yucks.
Operation Disclosure Official.
Correct. And then just for yucks, go to therightscoop.com, and it's sometimes it's some really stupid things on there, but sometimes you get a real jewel or two, real diamond in the rough. And then Stillness. I think it's called Stillness in the Storm. Just let me pull it up here. I think it's Stillness in the Storm. Let me look. I'll open it. Yeah, stillnessinthestorm.com. Stillness in the storm.com.
Okay.
That's a
Thank
fair
you.
Site for some stuff.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, but you've got to handpick what you're looking at and then read it and realize, okay, where did this come from? Then you have to do some backup work and figure out, okay, was that source credible?
Yep.
So I don't know.
I'm finding most of the ones that I have listened to, I'm just fed up, you know, because I don't think they're credible. I think they're just talking.
Yeah, I don't listen to any of these people anymore, you know, none of the gurus. I have personal opinions on them. I'll leave it at that. And none of them are positive.
I know you want to answer that. I feel the same way.
Well, I go to Operation Disclosure, and I typically read Judy Byington. She's usually got the most up-to-date stuff. Yeah, B-Y-I-N-G-T-O-N.
What do you mean you read her?
Disclosure.
Oh, she's on Operation Disclosure?
Yeah.
Judy Byington?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
And,
appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. And, you know, for years I used to send out updates daily. And I just got, like you, when I got so, I mean, Cynthia, just got so tired of this week, next week, tomorrow, 2 weeks. But I got so tired of same old, same old, same old that, I mean, I rarely send updates anymore because it's the same stuff just recycled from last week. So
I wanted to ask, and I appreciate you guys giving me a heads up about them, and I will check them out. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. Gary, you are next.
Hey, Carol and Jim. I got one question for each of you. Carol, regarding the Soutane font, how do you spell that, and what is the name of the header font? I didn't catch that one.
Okay, the header font is Chancery, C-H-A-N-C-E-R-Y.
Got it.
And the body font is Soutane. That is S as in Sam. O-U-T-A-N-E. And Jim has both sites.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And then the question for Jim, regarding the $21, again, just to confirm that, I didn't have the silver certificate note, so I've got the regular currency that we have currently going on. When the new silver, the new treasury notes come out, did you say I can replace it or cannot replace it?
You can, but if the notes were that you're talking about, the new notes were not available when you sign the trust, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
So when you have the money, go buy the silver certificates. That
okay.
would be my. If it was me, that's how I would do it.
Gotcha. If I couldn't find the silver certificate, could I add the $21 in the treasury note and keep the original currency in there also and have both of them there?
You could do that, yeah, but I don't see any advantage to adding the second currency after the first currency because when you created it, you didn't have that. And what we're trying to do is establish a precedent for court. If you ever get drug into court, this is a common law contract. I even tried to use real money. I couldn't find any real money, so I bought the silver certificates.
Okay.
You know, and either that, or you can actually take and put 21 silver coins in there.
Ah, okay.
When you can afford to buy them.
That was my question.
Yeah. They ain't going to be cheap by the time you get around to buying them, but you'll have the money.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And that brings something up. Well, okay, so any trust you buy in the future, you can put the $21 in treasury notes in them because we'll have those. They'll be available then. But as you were saying, we're talking about the original exchange. The original exchange, when you did all these trusts, were $21 in lawful currency, which would be silver certificates.
Okay.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Helene, you are next again.
Hi, guys. I'm sorry. It's Helene again. This is maybe a little complicated, but I'm going to make it as simple as possible. I have an existing gun trust. The gun trust is firearms that need ATF approval. So prior to possession of these firearms, I had to send this specific trust to ATF for them to approve the trust for these specific firearms. Now, I would like to terminate that trust and put it into a common law trust, which will also have to be sent to ATF for their approval. Does that sound feasible?
Sure.
Yeah. I don't understand. Registered the trust with the gun with the ATF.
Because there's certain type of firearms that need ATF's approval for you to have.
Okay.
I'm not going to mention what they are. I'm just telling you that there are certain firearms that are required ATF approval prior to even possession. Trust, it took about 14 months to get the approval from ATF, and it had to sit with an FFL for 14 months until that approval came in to the FFL, letting them know that they can now release the firearm. The trust has been approved.
Well, I would say this. Nobody go rob her, try to rob her house.
Absolutely. I have two dogs, Mrs. Smith and Mr. Wesson.
There you go.
I just didn't. I know that this trust is specific. See, I don't want to put everything in the trust, only the one I want. I guess I'll have to do two trusts, one for everything and then one for ones that need to be approved by ATF, because I have to show them that there's a change of trust and they have to approve that. And I just didn't want to list other things that are none of their business.
Oh, true. Absolutely.
Yeah, you'd have to have at least two trusts. So, speaking of amount of trust, remember house, real estate trust, automobile trust, management trust, annuity trust, standard trust, and then specialty trust. I mean,
and
eventually you're going to have a bunch.
Yeah.
But not right away.
Okay. Also, I have a common law trust the original trust that I got from you guys, that the mother load. Now, I know Jim 2 weeks ago said it could take up to 3 to 4 weeks after redemption to get the new trust. But if I have to disperse funds prior to that, do I disperse it under the mother load trust? In other words, put that money in another account. But then I have an issue, the name of the account, because it won't be a trust. It would be under my name. Is that correct?
Well, it depends on how you set it up, not necessarily. If you have the mother load trust, it can fund it can fund different programs. What we're trying to get everybody to do is realize that the mother load trust is your bank trust. That's the one that has all the money. You don't want it public.
Right.
Absolutely have to. But then, after the fact, you can clean it up and put it all into a different type of another trust. In other words, your project trust, for example. We're hopefully we'll be able to get these out fairly quickly. Right now, just give you an example. For somebody new to building a trust, it takes them a couple hours. These aren't just, they're not easy to build. So, because everyone is specifically personalized. Yeah, we have a templating system, but they have to be personalized. And that takes time. And that's why we say it's going to take a little time to get everybody trained and get going. We have some people right now that are trained, and they are doing trust for us. But when we get hit with, an order for, without exaggeration, over 1,000 trusts, it's going to take a few days to get those done, get them out. And we know
that.
Okay,
my concern is taking the money from the mother load to pay things that need to get done, immediately, but not having the new trust set up at that time.
Yeah, that's a bugaboo right there. Because I know everybody wants to do it, and they feel like time is of the essence. They got to get that other project started. Yet they don't have the money to buy the trust, and it's going to be a difficult situation. I don't have I don't have a solution. Carol, you got anything that we can bring forward?
I'm thinking about maybe providing an abstract or trust, which is typically all they need to open a bank account. But that's still going to require some time and effort on our part, but not as much time as it would take to create the whole trust. Yeah, any obviously, it's just anything you could do beforehand would greatly benefit you. But Jim and I have to discuss the how that might work as far as just providing an abstract to get you started.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that concept, Carol, at all. My issue is making sure that people represent the abstract properly so they don't get themselves in trouble or us. And that's what we need to work on, some verbiage, so we can be on the same page with that. Give us a couple days.
We'll put them on our website. Okay. What is the cost for the abstract trust?
Abstract trust. We've typically been, back in the day, a long time ago, I was doing just abstracts for people who wanted to get started but couldn't afford it, and they were $125 to get started. I think now, because we do have some additional expenses, we will probably raise that, but it will certainly be less than $200.
Okay. So I can go ahead and get that started, like, this weekend for an abstract trust. I just need it temporarily as a holding until the rest of the trust. I have like 10 of them to do.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk. Well, Jim and I have to discuss it. Maybe either we'll send out a blast email or we'll give you a call personally, one or the other. We'll figure it out.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Helene. Una, you are next.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, this is Una. I am totally confused with that certificate situation.
Okay. Well,
so
you have... So when you met with... Hello, I got some feedback there. When you met with your creator... Everything was prepared. All he or she had to do was sign it. But if you read just the first paragraph of the trust, the preamble, it tells you exactly what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
You, I mean, the creator temporarily takes title to your assets. It's all on paper. And puts them in the trust. Well, you can't just give somebody something and put it somewhere else without you getting your receipt, right?
Right.
So the certificates are your receipt, number one. And the certificate allows you to receive a distribution of funds should you, the trustee, decide to make one. I mean, it's so rare that this happens. But let's just say you find you've got an extra $1 million in the trust after all the stuff that you've done. I don't want this to be in the trust anymore. I want it to be maybe in another trust, or I want to give it away or whatever. So you're going to... create a distribution, and let's just say for sake of argument, you have a certificate, your daughter has a certificate, and your two sons have a certificate, okay? So each certificate probably be worth 25 points or 25%, 25 units. So you take that $1 million and then you divide it by four, because there's four times 25 is 100. So each of you will receive $250,000. That's what a pro rata share is. But it's so rare that we even make distributions, but it's there if you need it.
It's only if I need it. So my creator signed this trust certificate.
Correct.
And I gave her $21.
No.
U.S.
She gives you $20 U.S.
Okay.
You give her title to all of your currency.
Mm-hmm.
She gives you the certificates and $21. And that's the exchange. Don't forget, trust is created by exchange. It's not a gift.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's not a transfer. It is an exchange. So she's exchanging, you're exchanging your currency for the trust certificates and $21. Now, when you die, those trust certificates become null and void. So they're never ever probated. You know, there's no value attached to them whatsoever, except your pro rata share of a distribution. When you die, they become null and void, which is the reason why we either have sent you a blank trust or now we're sending a template trust. So the next person that takes over, whether it is a surviving trustee or a successor trustee, they make out a new certificate, typically for themselves. And then they sign the creator is out of the picture.
Okay.
All right, Carol.
Yes, Jim. Go ahead,
you
Jim.
Misspoke a little bit. Let me clear it up. You said send a temporary trust. You meant a temporary certificate, correct?
Yes, I did, yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
Perfect.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Kara.
Is that it?
No, it's Kara. And in addition to that, what if I get another currency that's not listed on in the trust? I just make up a minute to list that. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
And that minute is on the website, is it not, Jim?
It is.
Yeah. Maybe a half a dozen sample minutes, and that is one of the sample minutes that's done, those half a dozen. But Jim has the actual minute on the website as well.
Awesome. All right. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Carol, wasn't that the very first time you've ever made a mistake on the call?
Oh, we won't go there.
Okay.
Jim in Asheville is next.
Yes, Carol. How are you today, you and Jim?
I'm well, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I have a bookkeeping question. The back of the trust, there's a blank sheet of paper at the top. It says minute number. It's blank. When I put minutes in, do I have to do a separate sheet of paper for each minute, or can I do chronological minutes all on that one page as they come up?
I think it's a choice. I know other people have said just go ahead and draw a line under the first entry and then write minute number, the next succeeding minute there. Personally, because I like things to be a little more organized, I would do a separate page. Jim, what's your thought?
My thought is exactly that. That way, when you go pull out a minute, if you have to take a minute to somebody to show them, to prove something, you don't have other minutes attached to the same minute. So I always do it in a separate page. Even if it's only a half a paragraph, it's in a separate page every time.
I agree.
Would it be important? Go ahead.
Go ahead. What's your question?
Would it be important to use the same paper, or can I get just some stiff type of paper that's not like in the trust?
You can get notebook paper if you want to.
Okay.
Let me add to that for you, Jim, real quick. The reason we use such heavy stock is this trust has to be around for at least 25 years, because that's when you renew it, 25 years. That's why we chose a very heavy card stock, a 65-pound stock. It's called Astral Parch. And you can, in the old website, the new one shortly, we'll have that all that stuff on there. I just haven't had a chance to put it all together yet. But I'll have it on there. And it doesn't matter to us what you use, but the reason we use the heavyweight stock is for longevity of the trust.
Super. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Jim. Thank you. Okay. Raul.
Hello.
Hi, Raul.
I want to double dip here. A previous caller asked a question about having the mother load in place with all the currency after the RV. And I believe they wanted to do some spending right away without a trust. Is that am I correct in repeating what the question was about?
Yeah, to a degree. She was, I believe, thinking, well, I got this project I got to do right now, and I can't wait for your trust, so I'll just do it personally.
Yes.
No.
Okay, yeah. That is, would not that I'm suggesting she do this or anybody, but, you know, with respect to the trust that you sell, would a management trust be a vehicle to allow that to happen easily? Spending money right away that, okay. So when I do have a management trust, is this the trust that would have the checks that if I need to make spending right away for certain things while you guys are 2 weeks off or whatever, I can do that, right?
Yeah.
You can do it, sure. Got to be careful how you paper it. If you don't have a trust in place, we need to really, Carol, I'll really get down and seriously figure out this abstracting. There's a couple ways to go with that. Unique thing about getting an abstract, it gives you the EI number right away.
Yeah.
So now you've got an abstract of trust, which means the trust is on its way. This is the abstract of it. And it's legitimate.
Okay.
An ethical one.
Oh, okay.
Trust the good stuff.
So you're suggesting that I do not do any spending from the management trust until I have another trust in place.
Or at least an abstract. In other words, if you can't afford
okay.
it takes us time, we can do an abstract and it comes in a PDF so we can get it to you right away. Then you just take it down and get it notarized, and now you can go open a bank account or that new trust coming to you shortly.
And that would be for either a house or a car or whatever that I might want to need right away.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, okay. I got my marching orders in case it happens that I have to make a trust without a trust, or rather abstract without a trust. Okay, that answers
right.
my question.
All right, but it
okay,
is
thank
actually,
you.
Technically, is for the rest of them, technically, when we do an abstract of trust, we have everything in our computer. We have the EI number. We have everything done. All we have to do is to have a few days to finally print the trust and ship it to you. The abstract
okay.
is evidence, contractual evidence that the trust does exist. It may not be printed yet, but it does exist.
Mm-hmm.
And the abstract would have to have the name of the abstract would have to have the name in there somewhere of the eventual trust when it arrives.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly, because we have to get the EI number. We have to have a name and make sure it qualifies.
Okay, I got you. Okay. All right, well.
The one thing I want to bring up now, as it stands right now, the virus is still alive. And I say the virus because a good friend, Jay, Carol's husband, he used to call the IRS the virus. And that is exactly
yeah.
what it was and is. But if the virus finally dies and goes away, then they'll have to come up with something to identify an entity for banking purposes. And I suspect that they will have something issued by the Treasury Department instead of the IRS or the virus.
Uh-huh.
So just keep that in mind that, you know, this is a fluid situation, unfortunately. We don't know what's going to come up. So.
Okay, well. We'll be on standby and brace ourselves. Hopefully it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm
yeah,
praying for that.
What they created now, I mean, if you think about the system, there's millions and millions and millions of laws out there, and we don't need but about six.
Get rid of the virus.
Really, absolutely. Also,
okay.
When it comes to the abstract, and this goes back to your question, when it comes to the abstract, you're going to fill in the same application you fill in now. We still need all the data so we can create the trust. As Jim said, we just will not initially have the time to get it all printed, boxed, and shipped. But we can at least get you the abstract by email.
That sounds good enough for me.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. And, you guys still plan on taking a little 2 weeks hiatus to get things straightened out on your end, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if we can't get ourselves squared away like you guys can, then I don't want to do this.
Exactly.
No. Okay. Well, bless you guys. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks, Rob.
So I think, Carol, what we'll end up doing is, speaking out loud here, is probably just have a couple people dedicated to doing nothing but abstracts.
I think it's a really good idea. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So we can do that.
We have one more caller. Una, are you back?
Yeah. I just wanted to find out, do you have any idea approximately how much of a tax we'll pay on the currency?
Supposedly none. It's been said for a long time that by treaty, this is not a taxable event. We, especially federally, probably statewide as well. But the states we don't know so much. That's why we send people to states that have no income tax.
Oh, okay. All right.
Jim, you want to answer?
Hmm?
Jim, you want to answer that?
No, not really. I just, you know, it's kind of hard to operate in the dark the way we are right now because nobody really has given us any guidance what to really expect. We hear rumor after rumor after rumor, but we have nothing to you know, substantiate anything. We just don't know. And I hate to say it again and again, but we don't know what we don't know, and that's very annoying, especially people like me. Control
all of us. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Una.
Okay.
Sylvester, you're next.
Good afternoon. This is Sylvester. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Hello, Jim. How are you? I'm listening about this abstract. I have an abstract with my trust. So do I need I should need another abstract to go to the bank and open up an account once the RV is done. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. Everybody has an abstract with their trust, and that is to facilitate opening an account at a bank. It's to facilitate proving that you do have a trust. The question was, if I don't have any other trust and all I have is my mother load, how can I spend money? Well, if you want to do other things, you're going to need other trusts, like Jim said earlier, real estate trust, vehicle trust, et cetera, et cetera. That's what this particular abstract is going to be for. If you have a purchase you need to make, if you need to get a project started, you need to have that trust to do it, you can start off with the abstract to open your bank account.
Okay. Without having that other trust at hand right now.
That's correct. What it says is there is a trust in place. I just don't have it in my hand.
Okay, because right now all I have is the mother load trust, but
correct.
I can use that abstract to go and open up an account.
You can to open up an account, which I do not recommend right now. You can use that abstract to go to your exchange.
Correct.
I would say go to your exchange, take your abstract and your EIN letter, have your trust in a suitcase or something in case anybody wants to look at it. I seriously doubt that they will because there won't be time. What we're talking about is buying something other than, we're talking about a different trust. You've got your mother load. Everybody has a mother load. Anything else you're going to buy, like real estate, et cetera, or fund a project, requires a different trust. That's what that's the abstract is for. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Give
so
you
I would have to get a maintenance trust as well as maybe a real estate trust.
Correct.
After all of this is done. Okay.
Correct.
Jim?
All right. Jim, any comments?
No, not really. I think you did an excellent job explaining that. I think that they're starting to understand that, you know, you need an abstract or trust to open a bank account. Now, whether you get the trust from us right away or not, the abstract will work, but the trust is right behind it. And since we're going to have the whole application, we're processing it. We're just in the process of processing it. Then it's not a big deal, and the bank should have no problem because I've never shown a trust to the Wells Fargo Bank, and I'm not.
Neither have I. In 30 years, I've shown them my trust.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got 6 accounts with banks, and they've never seen a trust. They've seen the abstract, and they make a copy of the abstract and put it in my file. They've never seen the trust. So I'm not worried about that. It's just worried about getting everything into people's hands right away.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess through the abstracts.
Through the abstract. Okay.
So what you'll is you'll go to the how this works, Sylvester, is you'll go to the website and just order a trust, just like you normally would. You pay the
sure.
We got to set up some type of a scenario, Carol.
Yeah.
They just want the abstract initially, just pay for that. So we have to figure out how we're going to set that up. I can do an application just for that.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. So in the next 48 hours, I will build another application, and it'll be on 3itrustapp.com, and it'll be for, you'll have to fill out the same amount of information. It'll just be changed at the pricing. It'll be at the bottom. So that's the only thing I have to change. Just got to go figure out how to do that, and that's not a biggie. So it's just a matter of, I need three trusts, and I don't have the money for them right now, so I'll get three abstracts. And that way, you're in the queue, and then when we get ready to actually print the trust, then we'll contact you, and then you pay for the balance. I would assume that's how we'll do it. Carol, I need to work out the details.
Yeah.
But if you just want an abstract, we can do that. And then we'll figure out how to do the application. Since we already have the application, full application, I don't know exactly how we'll do this yet. We'll have to work out the logistics, Carol.
Yeah, I know. We can do it.
We have. No doubt about doing it. It's pretty good stuff.
Would I need the maintenance trust first?
Management
or depending on what I want to do.
Yeah, the management trust is probably the most important one to get because you don't want to have an EI number for your real estate trust nor your automobile trust. It's just too much information in the government's hands.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure everybody can appreciate that. So if you don't have a checking account for your automobile trust, then you contract to the management trust to cut the checks for your insurance,
correct,
maintenance, gas, and all that. And you can have one account and run everything out of there, or you can have multiple accounts. So if you wanted a debit card system, so you can always get your gas for your vehicle and pay the maintenance and the service and all that off one debit card, you could have an account. They could issue you a debit card on that one account. So there's a lot of ways to do this, and it's just however you decide you want to do it. For me, mm-hmm, I've got one account, Good Shepherd Trust, and it does all my business banking right now. But I have multiple entities running through it, and I just do a spreadsheet, and I have a constant spreadsheet. Every day I go in, if I buy anything, I add it to my spreadsheet, and I put down the account that I drew the money out of, so I know exactly where I stand financially at all times. And I check my bank records to verify that at least once a week.
Okay, so the number one thing I would need to do is get, after the RV, is get a maintenance trust, and from the motherlode, once the money is in the motherlode trust, then I can move some money from the motherlode trust into the maintenance trust to do some of the things I want to do until I get the other trusts in place.
Right. It's a management trust.
Yeah, management trust. What did I say?
I put that out because I'm correcting you because it's on a recording. We want to make sure everybody understands. So, yeah, it's a management trust. Now, there's various ways.
I've
got this on various tapes where how to link the trust, and we'll have that all black and white that be here on the – Carol and I are working through the logistics on that right now and how to make it sound easy, and it is really easy, but we got to do it right. And then it'll just be you download a piece of paper, and you go to put it on your computer, and then you just type in the different names, and then you print, get it notarized, put it in program – proper files, and you're golden. So it'll be simple. We're going to make it simple.
Okay. So I'll work on getting money for the management trust to be in place.
Work on that.
And I can still use my abstract that I have with the motherlode until all that is done. in place.
Well, you don't open an account yet. You know, don't open
right,
one.
Right. No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Good. Because, you know,
I wouldn't do that right now.
Yeah, good. I have not opened my Motherload trust account yet either, but I do have a trust account that I'm using for my general businesses. I have three businesses.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, well, you know, if you have questions, please give me a blast or an email.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sylvester. And let's hear, Norma, I saw your hand raised earlier, then you went away. You still have a question?
Yeah, we're listening.
Are you,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's your question?
Okay. Actually, I don't know if you want to go address this at this point because you're at the top of the hour and past, so it kind of opens up a little bit different avenue, but it was mostly asking for a comment from y'all. But if you want to, we can save it for another time. It's coming.
Take too long. Go for it.
Okay. It's coming out now that Putin and Russia has announced Jassar to its people and that they have gone on the gold standard as of now. With this being true, this shows that we will soon be doing the same. Jassar goes along with this and does away with taxation, interest on monies, and so forth. And I just wanted to know if you or Jim have a comment on that.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, right. That's about what I was going to say. But no, I saw that, and I'm familiar with it. And going back to realrawnews.com is where a lot of the information that you, the truth about what's going on in Ukraine is there. I'm so stunned and disappointed in even my friends. We ought to shoot Putin. Look what he's doing. I'm going, come on, folks.
Right. Those are the normies, Jim.
I know. I have a few normie friends. They drive me crazy. We're my age. It's always got to have an I'm tired. Crazy. Angry. So, but if you want the truth is there. And then I'll just leave you two more things with that, and then we don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole, although I'd love to.
Right.
Is that the next one that you're going to see that everybody's going to get all bent up about is China's going to go into Taiwan, and that's okay. The same situation is going on in Ukraine, is going on in Taiwan. That's going to be fixed. And the last one you'll see, and they say in a lot of stuff when the Q drops, Israel will be the last. And I don't know exactly who's going to go in there and clean up that mess, but when that's done, then we'll be on a level playing field finally.
Okay.
So, I do know that Russia did announce Jassar for them, and they're waiting for Jassar to be announced this week. It looks like tomorrow or the next day should be announced from what I was reading yesterday. And I think that, you know, right now we're seeing the darkest hours of this planet, not just our country, but this planet. But what really bums me out more than anything else is all of these things going on in Ukraine, Taiwan, Israel. It's all based out of America, which really aggravates. You know, it's our nasty deep state is just trying to kill everybody in the planet. And that's just my personal.
That's right. Okay.
So.
Well, I appreciate your comments and. I'm sure the rabbit hole you're talking about not going down right now is how it's going to affect us, but that we can save that for another call if it's needed. And thank y'all so much. Thank y'all so much for your call.
You're welcome.
All right.
Let's see. We do have somebody next. That will be Helene. Helene?
Hi. I'm sorry. Things just keep coming into my head. You know, you guys are talking a lot about opening bank accounts. Now, I don't feel safe in a bank, period. And I know that things are going to be changing or are changing with banks. But I plan on keeping everything into the QFS, and I do understand that you can make payments through the QFS.
And?
If you're asking us to have any information on that yet, we don't know. Go ahead.
I do have something that I sent out, I think it was to Norma and Jerry, a few months back, and it did show all of the different screens of what a QFS could possibly look like, and one of them, way down, was about making a payment, who it's to, what it's for, blah, 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 and I understand that the QFS is supposedly monitoring things that if something goes to a bad place, that they can nip that in the bud. But why would I put my money in a bank account versus leaving it in the QFS?
Well, the QFS is going to be, the bank's going to be converted over to QFS. There was a video yesterday, and I saw it on, I think it was off of Truth Social, or maybe it was something enormous. I don't remember. There was some guy who was talking about the QFS and how the bank works and stuff like that. I think that they're two separate entities, but you'll use the bank to go get your money, and you'll probably have your own personal wallet where most of your money is stored on your personal wallet. And they're just a facility that you can go to and draw out some USN, United States notes, or cash when you need it. There's got to be a way to get your cash. Okay, we're not going to go to a cashless society. That's just not a possibility right now.
Right, but if all
not homeless.
If all the funds are in QFS, in order to get funds out, I have to open up a bank account?
Well, how are you going to get the cash? Who's going to give you the cash?
I well, think bank accounts, the common terminology is banks. That's what people understand. It's going to be a whole different deal when this happens.
Okay. I just want to make sure that the money is protected. I mean, I wasn't going to put a motherlode account into a bank account. I was just going to leave it on the QFS and then transfer it to a management account and then use that management account to pay things out. But I have the thought, based on the documents that I have that I have shared, that you can make payments through the QFS.
I have no idea. Until this shows up and I can read the brochures, so to speak, I don't go down that.
You know what, Jim? I'll email the documents to you and you can take a look at them. It was sent by, I can't remember, it was sent by a woman who is in a bank that, it came from a woman who was a vice president of a bank who was talking about how the QFS would work and what the screens possibly may look like. I'll send it to you, and then we can talk later about that.
All right. Well, the video, go ahead and do that. The video I saw yesterday, I just glanced at it. I was in a hurry. And they talked about, this guy was saying that he met with one of his Wells Fargo bankers, and the guy's quite a ways up in Wells Fargo. They said that they've been being trained on the QFS for the last 6 months, and that it's going to be transparent, and that we'll still use, and this is a Wells Fargo banker, that we'll still use Wells Fargo to access our money, but it will be in a QFS, and that they'll no longer be able to loan us money, they'll no longer be able to, you know, give us credit cards or nothing like that. The QFS will do all that. They're simply going to be the vault, the local vault. If you want cash, that's all they are.
Okay. So it's like a service center for cash, more or less.
Yeah, it'd be like a ATM machine that's got human bodies in it from time to time. You know, you'll just take your card over to the local ATM and pull out what you need, whatever currency you want. They're going to have multiple currencies in a lot of these ATMs shortly.
Okay.
I don't understand all of that, but that's what I was told.
And where did you see this video, on Real Raw News?
No, somebody sent it to me. I think I saw it on, I was just in such a hurry yesterday. Let me see here. I think I saw it. Let me look. On,
isn't that the
I think Norma has sent it to me, or it was on her stuff.
I thought it was on Telegram.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm on Telegram right now. I'm looking. But I don't remember which one of these that I went to and saw the video.
Okay, I can ask Norma that.
Yeah. And
for the
on
video.
She's got this video of this guy that got 16 cops showed up at his door a couple days ago.
Right.
And
he talked to the...
And they asked...
Yeah, he talked
to
the guy...
Go ahead,
at Salt Lake City. Yeah. Yeah, I sent it to her. But at the same time, she sent it to me. So, yeah, I did see that video. So, okay, great. Thank you so much. You guys have a blessed weekend.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Yeah,
okay,
that is the video. Just a second. That is the video that does talk about the VP at Wells Fargo Bank.
Yeah.
So that's the video where I got that.
Yeah.
Redneck Renegade Radio.
Yeah, and what was really interesting I thought about that is everything was in reverse. Did you notice the printing on his shirt was backwards, the flag on his hat was backwards, and something in the background was backwards. It was all like he's looking through a mirror. It was very strange.
Well, he's filming himself, and when he put it on his deal, he just reversed it by accident. I've done it a couple times.
Oh, okay.
So we go to the video, and it's easy to do.
Okay. All right. Anyway, we've got two more people lined up for questions, and after that, how about we call it a day? Okay?
All right.
Okay. Great. Next is Una.
Yes, I'm talkative today.
Okay.
I just want to clarify. Mm-hmm. Okay, my first trust I'm going to use as my management trust, right?
No.
Because that's... No?
Go ahead, Carol.
No, your first trust is your mother load trust. That's the one that has all the currency in it.
Okay, that's the mother load. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So isn't that like the management?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that like the management trust?
No, because
no.
The mother load, nobody knows about. Okay? You don't have a checking account. You don't have a debit card. Nothing. The management trust is the one that's more or less your public face. So you're going to fund the management trust from the mother load, okay? The management trust is the one that has an EIN, has a checking account, has a debit card.
Okay. So my first trust is my mother load trust, and the other one that I have I'm going to use as my management trust.
That's correct.
But that does have a EIN number as well.
It has to. Okay. That's going to have your checking account and your debit cards.
The management.
Yeah.
So the mother load is just going to have the monies attached to it, and the management trust is going to be the one, like my account, right?
Yeah.
No, you're going to have your mother load trust is going to have the master account.
Mm-hmm. Could you repeat that? You muffled a while ago. The mother load trust is what?
Okay, the mother load trust is a trust that has all of your currency in it. That's the one you're going to take to the bank, and you're going to exchange it and put it in the bank. And then your management trust, it will derive its income, its money from the mother load trust. Now, it has to be a series of events to make it work. In other words, if you can put money in the management trust, it's got to have something to manage. We designed this to where you can have automobile, a boat, real estate, any of those trusts without an EI number, so it's not public. And those trusts then have a contract with the management trust to take care of its money. So then it's just a matter of doing your proper due diligence and your documentation saying that the management trust received $500,000 from the mother load trust on behalf of the real estate trust, and the management trust now is going to pay for the house and pay for the mortgage, pay for the taxes, do the maintenance, stuff like that. That's the contract, and that's renewed every year, I would recommend.
Right. So the Okay, I'm going to have to deal with that later on because I know it's late for you all now. But the mother
well,
load trust.
Una, just give me a call and we'll walk you through it. Just give me a call next, not today, but sometime first of the week. Just give me a call during the day and I'll walk you through it.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you.
Good talking
to you.
All right. One more.
Yep.
Jim.
Yes. Good to talk to you. First of all, I want to tell you how much I am impressed with your and Jim's knowledge, and I appreciate you guys sharing that knowledge with all of us. But my comment is, and I hope I don't muddy the water, but one of these gurus that I listen to mentioned going back to whether or not this is going to be a taxable event or not. They're saying that definitely that the Iraqi currency should not be taxable because that's the way it was written up. But they caution saying that they're not sure about the other currencies, whether or not they're going to be taxable. So you just may want to kind of keep that in mind that just there's a possibility that some of the other currencies may be taxable. But that's what to use that nasty word, gurus, that's what they're saying. So I just wanted to kind of share that information.
Well,
excellent.
Thanks for bringing it up. Yeah.
All right. So on that note, I want to say this. Personally, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of money for the first 6 months. I'll be busy working. I won't have time to go spend money. but I had planned on not spending much initially for the first 6 months. Anyway, because I don't want to get caught up in that lottery mentality where I've got $1 million and I got to go spend as fast as I can to go have a great life. No, I have a great life already. I just need to have some toys. And what I want to do is wait 3 or 4 months before I make any major acquisitions. Let it all shake out. We'll get used to it. You know, protect your assets. You know, maybe have to change friends. You know, you never know. And so on and so forth. But don't go out and start spending money crazily just because you got it. And, you know, your projects, they can wait 2 or 3, 4, or 5 months. I mean, they've waited this long, they can wait a little longer. That's just my 2 cents worth. Carol?
Yeah, and going back to the tax question, you know, this has come up a lot of times. And we have heard the same story that the dinar will not be taxable, the others may be. What I have suggested, and I know other people have suggested as well, is put aside, make 35-50% into a separate account. Don't even touch it. Don't even look at it. If it's taxable,
yes,
you have the money. If it's not tax of the year, you have a bonus.
Yep.
Exactly.
Always nice to have that little sitting there just waiting to be spent.
Exactly.
Like I said, I didn't want to muddy the waters, but I did want to caution people that there is that possibility.
Yep. Well, we appreciate that because that's true.
Thank
all
you
right.
so much. Appreciate you all your calls.
You're
all
more
right.
than welcome. Thank you.
Huh?
All right.
Bye, Carol and Jim. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks.
Oh, I'm choosing the wrong button.
Who's the wrong button?
Yeah, Q&A. Oh. There we go. Now I guess I unloaded the wrong person. Okay, hang on a second. Let's go here. Get Jim back here, and there we go. So, Jim, are you ready to do your little close?
Yeah, I think we had a great call here today. You have a note here that we did not discuss. Did you want to go over that real quick at the bottom of our page? Okay, well, it just says, keep it quiet. A new communications monitoring system of social media posts, emails, text messages, Discord, DMs, direct messages, Telegram chats, phone conversations is in effect by the NSA, the military, Intel, DIA. It has been reported that you need to be quiet about global currency reset and the RV-related issues, especially from the time you call the 800 numbers to set your appointment. In order to set up the appointment, you will be required to sign a non-disclosure agreement. From the time you call the 800 number through at least the 90-day NDA period, following exchanges, redemption, everything you write or say about the RVGCR could be heard by the new communication monitoring system to determine if you broke the conditions of the NDA. If so, your monies could be frozen. You may be able to exclude certain names from your NDA. Just list the names and email addresses and phone numbers on a sheet of paper and present it when you sign your NDA. You know, obviously, Carol and I have to have one together because, we, you know, I can't even imagine both of us signing NDAs can't talk about this.
Yeah, really.
That'd be crazy. Okay. It's also a good idea to present your own NDA for these people to sign. We have read that Wells Fargo, Chase, HSBC banks would be sending out emails with a safe link website that contained an individual 800 number, which you could use to set your exchange redemption appointment. It is my belief that if you bought currency from a recognized dealer, you will get an email. If you do not, if you do not receive an email, then you will be able to find a secure website from intel providers like Dinar Chronicles, Dinar Recaps, Mark Z, Bruce, TNT, Tony, and Chiefs Dinar, and Dinar Detectives websites. The secure website would have instructions on how to obtain your personalized code 800 number, ID number, for the redemption process. We plan to send an email blast out announcing that the Eagle has landed or something to that effect. I know we have discussed this in the past, but as a reminder, there are certain words and terms you cannot use or risk violating your NDA after exchange. Redemption, exchange, global currency reset, GCR, revaluation, RV, currency exchange rates, quantum financial system, UFS. Do not use these terms after you exchange and sign an NDA. Until the official rules of engagement are made known, we recommend setting all the intel and rumors aside. Just be ready. So that's what we wanted to add, and then I'm going to add my information so we can get off of here. And so I'm still in Oregon, folks, and so I'm on West Coast time. So the best number to give me was 866-341-6907. My email address is security@indicatorinformation.com. I work generally 9 to 6, Monday through Friday. I don't take calls on weekends. I do deserve a little time off. And I think that's all you need to know about me. Carol?
Okay. Well, you know, folks, we are apparently so close to this RVGCR. We hear it every day. We hear more about dates and rates, 800 numbers, et cetera. Most sites are sending in. No one knows the actual date or rate. Same as taxation, as we just discussed. You know, we've heard everything from put aside 30 to 50% for taxes to it won't be a taxable event, either federally or by the states. Just, as Jim just said, just be ready. That's all we can tell you. Let's see. Don't forget daylight savings time starts tomorrow, or actually tonight in most cases. Don't forget to set your clocks. Spring forward, fall back. Thanks to all of you today for your time and attention. My name is Carol Willis. My number is 877-333-5018 or 206-915-4236. I am on the East Coast, and I'm available between 10 and 6 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. The best way to reach me is also by email, info@indicatorinformation.com. Have a happy and safe weekend, everybody, and go RV. Bye-bye.